السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And Mubarak day of Jumu'ah in the Mubarak month of Rajab. Such a great opportunity, such a great blessing. This ayat of the Quran which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that inna iddat ash-shuhur 'inda Allah 12 shahran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system of this world such that it revolves around 12 months. From the time Allah Pak had created this world, He had created 12 months. But from these 12 months, minha arba'atun hurum, 4 months are very, very sacred months. 4 months are very special months. And these 4 months are Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. So these 4 months are very, very sacred months. Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's sacred, can we imagine how sacred these months are? So anyway, from amongst the sacred months is this month of Rajab. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His system has made specific times of the day and night also sacred. For example, in the night, 1/3 of the night, the special blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. This is in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we are encouraged to wake up some portion of the night and perform that tahajjud salat, so we can also benefit from the special blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending down. But that is just for one portion of the night. When it comes to the month of Rajab, which is part of the sacred months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the whole month blessed. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would make one special dua on the approach of when the month of Rajab would come in. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us barakat. Grant us barakat in the month of Rajab. Grant us barakat in the month of Sha'ban. And O Allah, allow us with enthusiasm and love and desire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, wa ballighna Ramadan. O Allah, allow us to witness the great month of Ramadan. So now this is sign of love and sign of muhabbat, that 2 months before the coming of the month of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already making dua for barakat in Rajab, barakat in Sha'ban, and then saying, O Allah, allow us to witness the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And we may ask and we may think that barakat normally we would associate to money. Generally our thinking is like that. When a person says, I have a lot of barakat in my business, he's speaking now that the turnover must be more, or there's a lot of sales that he's doing. So there are a lot of things, or there's a lot of cash flow, the cash flow has improved. So a person thinks of this as barakat. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, O Allah, grant me barakat in Rajab and Sha'ban, and allow us to see the month of Ramadan, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually saying, barakat in a'mal, that O Allah, grant us the barakat in doing the right actions in Rajab, so that we may score as far as akhirat is concerned. Bring that barakat and blessings as far as our actions are concerned, so that we may score and we may prepare for the Mubarak month of Ramadan that is to come. Now this type of barakat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to in this dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Another point that ulama explain is that when the month of Ramadan would approach for the pious, that long before the approach of the month of Ramadan, the mind is already going in that direction, that a very, very great month is coming. So psychological preparation needs to take place, physical preparation needs to take place. Simple understanding is like a person who's preparing for the marathon, for a marathon, he doesn't on the last day decide that now I'm getting ready, I must get my gear, that tomorrow I'm going to run this marathon. But long before that marathon comes, this person is training, this person is already in, he's already exercising, he's doing all the necessary preparations. So when that moment comes for that marathon, this person is already ready and geared up to participate in that marathon. Another example for our understanding, you find an aeroplane that is on the runway. Before that aeroplane reaches enough velocity, reaches enough speed to take off, it needs to move, it needs to start moving on that runway. When it reaches a certain speed, it reaches a certain point, now this aeroplane can fly, and now it can ascend, and now it can take off. So the pious of the past, and the pious of our time also, this is how they look at the month of Ramadan. When just Rajab is coming, when Rajab has come in, Shaban has come in, they've already started their movement on that. They already started moving on the runway. They're picking up velocity, picking up speed. And now when that announcement comes that the moon of Ramadan has been sighted, they're already taking off. Not now they're starting to move, but they're already taking off. And when that last 10 days of Ramadan comes, they're already at the highest altitude. And now when that moon of Eid is sighted, now it starts their descent to come and land again. So this is the pious of the past. Already they figure and the movement is, how when I hit the month of Ramadan, I'm already in takeoff position. I'm not only now starting to move, but I'm already in the takeoff position. So this is what is meant that Barik lana fi Rajab. Oh Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab. Bless us in doing those amals that will help us to prepare for the month of Ramadan. Now we may ask, now what can we do to prepare for the coming of the month of Ramadan? There are a few things that ulama explained to us that are very important things, very easy and also at the same time very important. So one is that a person, he should keep his heart clean. But in order to keep this heart clean is such an important thing. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu basically grew up in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was his homeschooling, that was his school. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his teacher. From the age of 9 years till the age of 19, his mother basically gave him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are full time in the khidmat, in the service of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had mentioned to him that Ya bunayya in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al. That, oh my young boy, if you have that ability, if you have that capability of keeping your heart clean, wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin, you don't have any malice, you don't have any hatred, you don't have any dislike for anybody, faf'al, then do that. Wa dhalika min sunnati, because that is my sunnah, that is my way. I keep my heart clean for everybody. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to have a heart where there had to be malice for any or any dislike for any sahabi, how would that sahabi ever have benefited? So this was the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. Then he tells him, that person who loves my sunnat, who lives my way, he actually loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. That person who loves me will be with me in Jannah. Can you imagine, who doesn't want to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah? One easy prescription in this hadith is that, follow my way, follow my sunnah, and then if you follow my sunnah, this is a sign that you love me, you'll be with me in Jannah. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned to him that keep this heart clean. So ulama explained that, how do we keep this heart clean? We know now the approach of month of Ramadan is coming. One of the ways of approaching this month of Ramadan in the correct manner is to keep the heart clean. How do we keep the heart clean? Ulama explained that keep three things pure. Just three things pure, automatically the heart will stay clean. Which three things? The eyes, the tongue, and the ears. Keep the eyes pure from seeing only those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't see anything that is haram. This person may think that it's so innocent. What if I just look at a wrong thing, if I see a haram thing? But how often you find that intelligent people, just by looking at the wrong, at the haram, their minds have changed. Allah Pak had given them so beautiful wives. Allah Pak had given him the best of everything. But they got carried away by the misuse of the eyes. And intelligent people do foolish things after that. And sometimes you think that this person is a judge sahab, this person is a professor sahab, this person is an intelligent person. But how come he slipped and did such a foolish thing? The only reason is the person, first he misused his eyes. Before he can do anything else, there was misuse of the eyes. Therefore in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِن نَاقِصَاتِ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ أَذْهَبَ لِلُبِّ الرَّجُلِ الْحَازِمِ مِنْ إِحْدَاكُنْ. Addressing the woman, Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, I have never seen that any person with deficient intelligence as far as intelligence and as far as the deen is concerned. Deen is concerned meaning, talking about the woman, that sometimes they can read salah, sometimes they can fast, sometimes they are not in the position to fast, sometimes they are not in the position to read salat. So this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining. But here he says that they are in a position to take away the intelligence of an intelligent man. I haven't seen any person that can do that. Deficient in their intelligence, deficient in the way that they practice their deen, but they have this ability of taking away the intelligence of an intelligent man. So this is what is meant. That by misusing the eye, a person now, his intelligence also is going away. His intelligence, Allah Pak has bestowed him, is now going away. So the first thing we need to do is take care of the eyes. The next thing we need to take care of is the ears. Anybody has got anything to say that is tantamount to ghibah, but there's no need for us to know it. It may sound juicy, it may sound nice, it may make a nice conversation on the table, but there's no need for me to hear it. Why should I pollute this clean heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? If somebody even has to narrate something that doesn't concern us, is not of public interest, is not something that's going to help us and benefit us, it's just some story about some other person. Quran teaches us a very, very nice thing to say. Subhanaka, ma yakunu lana an natakallama bihada. Tell the person, Subhanaka, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not becoming of us to speak of this. Subhanaka, again, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Hada buhtanun azim. This is slander that you are making. There's no need for us to even talk about another person. Why should we talk about somebody else? We got our own faults to be concerned about. We got our own weaknesses to look at. Why should we ever look at somebody else? Hazrat Mullah Ibadullah rahmatullah, a great pious person. Once he mentioned such a nice thing. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a mu'min two eyes, and Allah Pak has given a munafiq two eyes. Allah Pak has given a mu'min, a believer, two eyes, and also has given a munafiq two eyes. But the two eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a mu'min, one eye he looks at his faults, and with the other eye he looks at the good of people. And a munafiq, on the other hand, with one eye he looks at his own good, and with the other eye he looks at the faults of people. So we should see that, what are we looking at? Are we looking at our good only and looking at the faults of people? Or are we looking at the good of people and looking at the faults at ourselves? So this is the eye. Taking care of the ears also very, very, very important. Anybody comes with any kind of gossip, I'll end up on one story. There was much more that I wanted to mention, maybe at another opportunity. I'll just mention one incident. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi would say the importance about staying away from gossip. So this got to do with the tongue and the ears. That person keeps his tongue clean, keeps his ears clean. That there was once a person that was selling a slave. Now these incidents, these pious people who tell us, just to open our mind up so that we understand. We may think gossip to be something very, very small, trivial. Why do ulama speak about how dangerous this gossip is? And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that innahuma yu'adhaban, that two people are being punished in this qabr. Two people are being punished in two qabrs that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed by. And then he mentions, they were not difficult things to stay away. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. They were not difficult, easy things for them to stay away from, but they got involved in this, and this was resulted in them getting punished in the qabr. أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا كَانَ يَمْشِي مِن نَمِيمَةٍ. The first person, that his qabr, why he's being punished in his qabr, he would carry tales. He would carry tales from this person to that person. Ask ourselves and reflect for a while, that how often on this WhatsApp, how often on the phone, how often on the social media, we're listening to stories about other people, we're listening to gossip, we're sending that gossip, it's going viral. How many people are listening to gossip? How serious a crime this is. And here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, it wasn't a hard thing for him to stay away. He got involved, and now he's getting punished in the qabr for this, to show us how serious this gossiping is. Anyway, the story quickly, I'll just go through it. Mullah Masihullah rahmatullahi mentioned an incident of a person that was selling a slave. Now this slave, outwardly very intelligent, he had very good qualities, he would make a very good worker. So when a person saw that he was being sold, so he said, I would like to buy this slave. So the owner of the slave said, I want to just tell you, he's got one weakness. He likes to carry tales. He likes to carry stories. So that guy said, that's not a big thing for me. If this person can speak so well, he carries himself so well, he looks like a good worker, he'd be very good, he'd be an asset to me. That's a trivial thing whether he carries tales. So anyway, he purchased him and he took him. So now when this person would work, he got very close to the mistress. This person, this worker, who was carry tales. And he would always tell the mistress of the house, that you know what, your husband is interested in some other woman. Your husband wants to get married to some other woman. So naturally this perturbed her, this worried her. And he would tell her that, you know what, it's not a very serious thing. What you do is, I can do a certain amal, like how people believe, I can do a certain action, I can do a certain reading and amal, and your husband's love will come back to you. Your husband won't be interested in some other woman. So like that, he went and told the husband also that, you know what, your wife, she's plotting against you. She wants to kill you. She she wants to kill you. And imagine, he went and told the wife this and told the husband. So the husband too got worried. He said, I'm not joking. You'll see that tonight at 12:30, she'll come and she'll come to your throat with a knife or a very sharp object to try and kill you. And now he went and told that wife that, you know what, that if you want me to bring that love of your husband back for you, I just need one hair from his beard. But you must bring it, take it at 12:30 at night, because that's when it has the most effect. You don't do it at any other time. Now this simple woman, she wanted the husband to love her. She wanted the husband to have that love back. So she said, I'll do anything. If you need at 12:30, me bringing one hair from his beard that is close to his neck, I'm happy to do that. So now this person was very worried. His slave is saying that she's going to come kill you tonight. So he's lying on the bed, one eye open, one eye closed. He kept a sharp knife with him there as protection also. And now this woman, slowly she's seeing that he's sleeping. She comes with that knife also to cut one hair from the beard. As he sees her coming close with a knife to his neck, immediately he pulls out his knife and he stabs her to death. He kills her. Now she wanted to do something good. But just because of carrying tales from one person to another person, yeah, the husband had murdered the wife. And now after the court action went, it was found that he was guilty, and now he was also put for the death sentence. So Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullahi was explaining that this quality of carrying tales may seem something small, but look at what it had done. It not only had brought a disastrous end to this marriage, both people had ended up dying because of one person carrying tales around them, and they regarded this as trivial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding and appreciating. The month of Ramadan is coming. So just to recap, what we need to do is keep this heart clean. The way to keep the heart clean is to keep the eyes, to keep the ears, to keep the tongue clean. If we do this, automatically we'll find that we are on a good footing. We are already with an advantage when the month of Ramadan comes. This heart is already receptive to receive the Mubarak Anwarat and blessings that come down in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. May Allah give us tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.